Hello and welcome to the Cyber Sisters podcast. We're your Cyber Sisters, Allison and Emily, two cyber educators talking about edtech pedagogy and this week, AI tools. Hello, hello, and welcome back. We are so excited to have you all with us today. Today, we are having kind of a special episode. We have our very first repeat guest. Woo! Dr. Sam Fesich is going to be joining us. You guys will remember her from her time back in season, two of the show, I think, way back in 2021. So obviously lots of things have happened since then, both for the podcast and also for you, Sam. So go ahead, catch us up a little bit. How have you been since 2001?
Wow. Yeah. So I've been great. Thanks so much for having me back on, Emily and Allison. It's great to be a repeat guest on the Cyber Sisters. I love how we get to reconnect every year at PNC in February with lots of chocolate. And then we talk, oh, we should do another podcast. And I'm so excited that we're back on. So yeah. So what has life been like? Well, let's see. My daughter turned 6. That was a big to-do. So she's a kindergartner. She loves a kindergarten. And professionally, I put out a few more books, and I'm working at, continue to work at Grove City College, where I work with future educators. So yeah, I've been busy personally, professionally, and yeah, I'm excited for today's episode all about AI in the classroom.
We are so excited for this episode. I think that AI has been such a hot topic. And I think it's changing sort of the educational landscape in a lot of ways. And I think for many, many teachers, there's both a little bit of excitement, a little bit of fear. So we are very excited to have someone who is such an expert to sort of take us through this process.
Before we jump in, I will also say, since pretty much everybody knows that I'm the one who does the show notes, we will link Sam's new books in our show notes. So if you are interested in any of those, if you work with, they're all geared towards pre-service teachers, right?
New and pre-service teachers. Yep.
Awesome. So if you work with one of those, if you have one in your life, because I know some of you do, if you are one, because I know that we have some who listen, you can easily find them. So we already did an episode on ChatGPT, which was a very well listened to episode. We know that that's one of those hot topics right now. But we know that there are a ton more AI tools out there. So what are some of your favorites and how do you think they can be useful to educators? Because I know they can be kind of scary. All people tend to think of is like kids are going to use them to cheat, but they do have other uses.
Yes. Yeah. So I would love to start off with first thinking about AI and how we're coming at it from education. So I think if we think about AI like on a continuum of fight, flight, or freeze. So some of us are in the mix, we're fighting, we're seeing what's out there, what it can do. Some of us are in, oh, this is not going to affect me mode, so I'm just going to ignore it. And others are like, freeze, what do I do? Oh my gosh, do I try it? Do I not? Do I don't know. I don't even know where to begin. So no matter where you are on that continuum, know that AI is not new. We learned that from PNC, where the Office of EdTech came and they shared about how artificial intelligence has been around since the 70s. So like pre-Terminator ages, guys. But it's been used to help support students in their learning, and it's been used to help educators. So I'm going to dive into a couple of my favorite tools when it comes to AI, and I will say I use ChatGPT daily, whether it is like writing emails or like make this email sound better or make this feedback sound better or give me 5 workshop titles for a presentation about and then put the topic in. It gives me 5 different workshop titles. So like it helps me save teacher time. It helps me with my communication, make sure it's clear and that I have the right tone and intonation. Because how many times do we open up an email or a message from our teachers and we read it like in the most angriest voice ever? But that person,
right? Tone is so important.
Yes, it really is. And you can do a lot of those types of things in ChatGPT. So there's so many resources out there. I know you guys posted an episode about it like around February on P&C time. If I remember correctly, I think I may have listened to it on my way to P&C.
Yes.
I think it came out that week. Okay, I thought so. I was like, Monica Burns, also from the EdTech Made Easy podcast. I've also learned a lot from her and also from Chris Nessie, who does the House of EdTech podcast. I've also learned a lot from him as well. So let's jump in. Do you mind if I just jump in a couple of the tools?
Oh gosh, of course. Of course.
All right. Cool. So every teacher's best friend, I think, would have to be Canva. And if you have the Canva teacher account, you can get access to a lot of really cool educational resources. One of those really cool resources is under Docs. And if you click on, if you're in Canva, you know, you can hop on in with me while I walk around some of these tools. So within Docs, there's Magic Write. And you can magic write or use their AI feature to write content. So it's kind of like their own little ChatGPT right within Canva. So I'm going to write a intro paragraph about farm animals. And let's see. I know I'm doing this live on a podcast.
That makes it more fun.
I know, right? And it gives me a little paragraph about farm animals. And how farm animals are used and how they've been domesticated. And I can go ahead, I can change that up. So Magic Write is an option using AI within Canva. Another one, if you are in Canva, you can bebop down to the apps portion of Canva. And probably one of the first one that's going to come up is text to image. And you'll notice what it is because it has a purple square around it and has a surfing panda. Yep. So if you see the surfing panda, click on that. And you can go ahead and you can type in what you want a picture of. So it'll do text to image. So you can type in a picture of a book on a coffee table. And you can choose the style. You can hear me typing as I go. you can choose the style, filmic, watercolor, retro, dreamy. And you can choose the type like landscape or portrait and click create image. And it'll create four different AI developed images. And they're like, oh my gosh, sometimes the AI pictures do look a little creepy. In one of my presentations at P&C, someone said the AI and Dolly, like the people in Dolly are things of what nightmares are made of. I'm like, yeah, some of them do look creepy, right? They do, for real. Like they have five hands or their eyes just to look a little like on their forehead. I don't know, but it's getting better. So if you search for different images within the text image, it'll give you different kinds, or you can click, if you don't like any of the options, you can click create again. Another really cool feature within Canva using the AI option is if you click under apps, and you can start searching for different kinds of apps. But the one I want to pull up is let me go ahead and find it. It's a video app where it's going to, you type in text and a AI person will read it aloud. So that's a really neat feature if you wanted to just do text to speech and have a person read aloud. That's not you. Maybe you're not camera ready, and that's okay. So that one's a really neat one to try too if you're looking for some cool Canva-esque type apps. And then also under Canva, let me go back to my homepage in Canva. They used to have, about a month ago, they had like a whole bunch of little gifts to open within the Canva homepage, and they were all their new features that they have within it. But they also have Magic Erase, where you can erase parts of an image and you can replace it with something else. Let me give you an example. One of my students had a picture of them all dressed up. They were ready to go to a formal. They really liked their hair and makeup in the picture, but their formal dress was not professional. So they erased their formal dress on Canva and they typed in professional looking suit or business casual blouse, and it replaced it. It took a few finessing of it, but yeah, so they didn't have to redo their hair or makeup. They just used an image that they already had, erased it using Canva, erased the parts they didn't want, and replaced it. So that's
fun. That's really, really fun. Cool. I can think of several applications for that, like in, English classes, there's some interesting places where we could sort of play with that.
Oh yeah. It's really cool. And the other one, the video one I was telling you about is called DID AI Presenters. It does use credits, so to speak. So okay. You can type in your text, you can choose a presenter, and it will speak that text aloud. And let me go ahead and open that up, because I'm pretty sure it also does translation.
This one, I think, has a lot of really interesting capacity, because I know that one of the things that we, you know, for myself, when we were in a seventh grade English classroom, we have those speaking skills, you know, that we're always trying to work on. And I think it would be really interesting to have a student like listen to an AI read something and then sort of critique, you know, how do you not sound like an AI when you're reading something back? Great way to look at tone and all that kind of stuff. But also we would often, I know a lot of times for like the poetry unit, for example, try to get kids to record themselves reading a particular poem, you know, and then do like little gallery walks and things like that. And so if you have a student who maybe isn't comfortable with that or, you know, for whatever reason, or maybe doesn't have quite the capacity to do that, it's a great way to still include them in an activity like that. So in addition to read alouds and stuff, I can see some interesting places in that for projects as well that could be really fun and really useful.
You were sharing about intonation and tone earlier, and on the DID video AI piece within Canva, you can choose like what kind of style you want it to be in. Do you want it to be like a newscast? Do you want it to be cheerful, friendly, unfriendly, hopeful, whispering, like being creepy and whispering?
What a great place to teach tone. Yes. With a single paragraph. You know what I mean? Listen to this one. Now listen to this one. Now listen to this one. You know, let's think about what really makes them sound in this particular way. You know, how could we, you know, intonate some of that with punctuation? You know, I have a very English kind of frame there, but you may have some ideas from the content space.
No, this is excellent. Yeah. So there's so many things that you can do within just one app. So we only talked about Canva today. We have the Magic Bright, we have the Magic Eraser, and we have the text to image and the DID AI video prompter. So there's a lot you can do within just Canva alone for with the AI pieces.
And already a tool we know and love.
I know. We love Canva. I mean, I really think it's a teacher's best friend.
Well, and I was going to say too, Canva has been one that has been kind of on the forefront, because if I remember correctly, like Canva a while ago was the first program where they had that background remover. So even forever ago, you could put a picture into Canva and remove the background, which was also an AI tool. So we're talking about how this is not, AI tools aren't necessarily new. Right. Like that was an AI tool that existed within Canva a long time ago. And just saying this because this is a thing that exists at my school, it might just be a my school thing. So if you are someone like me where Canva is blocked at your school and you are not allowed to use it, some of these AI tools do exist outside of Canva. So it does take more digging to find them other places. But a lot of the ones, especially like the image creators and stuff, there are other image creators that you can find other places. But Canva does do a really good job of kind of like lumping them all together in one spot. So you can find some tools like this other places too.
Absolutely. So
just in case you're in the same boat as I am.
Absolutely. Another really cool feature within Canva, I'm sorry, I gotta hang out here for a minute.
Yeah. No, you're good. I know.
Is that it can present a presentation. It can create one for you by using Magic Design. So to get there, you just head on over to your Canva home screen. I typed in presentation and clicked on a blank one, but it can be a template, whatever you would like. There's an option that under templates that says Magic Design. And when I click on that, it tells me use 5 words to describe your presentation topic. So I'm going to type in rainforest animals and their habitat. And I'm going to click enter, and it's going to create a presentation for me based on that topic. I can choose up my, I can select my theme, and I can click create my presentation. And now I have, how many slides is this? 8 slides about rainforest animals. So it talks about the different species, the importance of the rainforest ecosystem, the 4 layers of the rainforest, threats to the rainforest. And it's pulling in images as well that I can use for that presentation. If I click on my title, I'm like, I'm not digging this title. At the bottom right-hand side of Canva, there's 3 little stars. It's called Canva Assistant. It can expand the text. It can summarize the text. It can rewrite it. And I can also edit it. If I just wanted to like write something else and try something else, I can put that in too. So there's features embedded within Canva using some of the magic, right? One of my favorites is summarize. So why don't you take a whole slide, copy or select that text, click summarize it, and now you have a nice little layout of what that slide's about for my students who might need some of that differentiation.
I'm assuming that all of their images are copyright free, correct?
There's no worry about too. I am making that assumption as well.
That's the one thing with these, like you have no way of knowing. And I know some of the image AI images, like there is that issue with that where they're taking things from artists to help generate their images. And that is one, like, I know we talked about that when we talked about the ChatGPT episode of like being careful what you put in because of the security and how it's all open source. But Canva is usually pretty good. I know Adobe Express, I keep wanting to call it Adobe Spark still. I know they also have AI images, and they have been very clear that their AI images are pulled from their own stash. They're created from their own stock of images, which you know are all good to use, and because they have their own Adobe stock images.
Nice. So you know it's safe.
Yeah,
exactly.
Just something to keep in mind, because I know that's been a bit in the news. So if you haven't been like following that, just something to be like thinking about, because that is something that artists have brought up, like, hey, this looks kind of similar to something that I created and I didn't give permission for anybody to use. It's my image.
Well, and very easy to, I know we do a lot of discussion, I feel like anymore, on, you know, media literacy. And what a great place to, you know, also have discussions, you know, with students about, you know, this is another way that media literacy kind of has to be thought about, right? Like, where is that information coming from? You know, and I think it becomes a really interesting discussion about, you know, ownership. You know, what if, you know, you had been the person whose art was created or song was created? You know, so many of our students are artists or YouTubers or making music in some capacity. So it's a really great way to sort of make that discussion so personal, right? Is, you know, now there are those tools, you know, there always was, you know, Google that could sort of pull things up and people could take credit. But this just adds another really interesting layer. So Canva, already a teacher's best friend, got even better thanks to AI. I know that you also have some other fantastic tools to share. So what is the next step in our lineup?
So for podcasters, I love AI Assembly because I love recording episodes. I hate writing the show notes.
Emily, this is for you.
Yes. Because I'm like, oh, this is great. So then I have to like, so when I write my show notes, when I wrote my show notes, I would listen to the episode 2 or 3 times just to make sure I got everything. I'd pause it. I'd go rewind. I'd make sure I got that whatever tool or whatever was said correctly. Now I still go back and I do add stuff, but AI Assembly has made my life so much easier. And what this one does, it's also great if you're doing any type of work with like transcribing or putting in like closed captions if you're doing YouTube or anything like that. So if you have students watching a YouTube video or if you're doing any type of transcribing, this is a fantastic tool. So what it does is you can pull in the audio file and you can just pop in your audio file and it will give it like 2 minutes to think about it. And it'll pull up a transcription, a summary, important words that were said.
Wow. It'll
take out like any filler words. It really is awesome sauce because it's just so easy to use. You can pop in a YouTube link or upload your file. And I'm just going to click on the sample. You can have a transcript. You can have a summary. You can have important topics that that was discussed, and just use that. So this is what I've been using for my show notes for about 2 months now. I'll upload my file, my audio file, and I'll click transcript and summary, and I'll pull the summary and I'll add to it. I'll put in like important links or like how to contact the guest or anything like specific links to their books or anything out on Amazon. It has saved me probably about an hour and a half on transcript time alone. Yes, it is. That's super cool.
Genuinely. Another place where this could be great too, is for jobs where there's meetings going mm-hmm. on. I know that one of the big things that, I and one of the other coaches that work with me, we're constantly having these sort of like brainstorming meetings or meetings where we're trying to, you know, sit there and talk about things. And sometimes we can both be so interested in like talking and sussing things out that like we won't write down the notes. I feel like it's very relatable, especially when you're really like deep into problem solving. You're spending your time thinking about the problem solving. And, you know, in a lot of worlds, right, you have like a note taker or somebody whose job it is, you know, to specifically be thinking about the management of that. But to be able to outsource a note taker like that and be able to just sort of come back and have all of those things kind of compiled, I think that this could have some real uses, because then that person's brain is focused on the problem solving at hand, not mm-hmm. necessarily on the organizing of information.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. It really is phenomenal.
That's a great one. Fantastic. Like, once again, we also have a ton of students who need transcriptions for a variety. That's a place where I feel like we have a lot of capacity for, you know, our students with special needs.
Yes, it's a fantastic for differentiation for that transcription piece, or just to summarize a YouTube video. If you're having them watch a YouTube video, pop it in there, give them a summary so they know what they're looking for or why they're watching that video.
Oh, that's a really good one. And anything that's an audio file, there's going to be some really interesting uses for that, I think. Like,
I agree. And one of the last ones I want to show you before I jumped on a Microsoft bandwagon, because I'm hopping on there next.
We're a big fan. I got a bonus.
We have to have bonus tools when we do a show like this, an episode like this. So this one's called autoclassmate.io. And I'll make sure I put that in our notes for our good friend Emily, who will be doing the transcription. Hopefully she'll be using some cool tools to do it. But this one is new to the game. There is a premium and a free version. Me and my future teachers, we specialize in free. So when you hop onto this website, it's going to give you some options to be a member, but I've just used the free tools and they've been really cool. So there's a lesson plan activity tool that you can use to predict outcomes of an activity before you try it out with your class. So make sure it doesn't fall flat on its face, right? You want to make sure that it's going to work. There's a would you rather question generator. This is great for going back, maybe back into the fall semester, but like different icebreaker type activities, or this could be a fun end of the year type activity. Would you rather do a donut party or an ice cream party, and have them do that? And then there's also an engagement generator. So you can type in the topic that you're discussing and what grade level. So I'm going to choose fifth grade, plant life cycle. Maybe that's more like second grade. We'll change that. Second grade life cycle plants. And it'll say, if you want to subscribe to our newsletter, I always click yes, because they have great stuff coming out, but you do you. And click generate AI responses. It's going to create a list of options that you can do based on that grade level and subject area that you can do for your class. These are nice anticipatory or little engagement activities. It has warm-ups. It has differentiated options for students who might need that resource for differentiation. There's also some modifications that you can do. So it offers a variety of things, not just a list of, hey, here, do this, but it also offers differentiation and modification. So I think this is a great option for our pre-service teachers who are just getting started in lesson planning, and you're looking through Pinterest, you're looking through TPT, and your overwhelm is pretty high because you're like, oh my gosh, where do I even start? This is a great place to start. So it came up with 7 different resources that I can do. One is a seed to plant paper plate craft. It gives me the instructions on how to do it. A bean plant sensory activity that I can do with my students. And I can download this as a PDF. So I can refer to it. I can print it out. I can also reload it if I wanted to and try it out again. Maybe I wanted to get more specific with what I'm doing with the plant life cycle. So there's a lot of stuff that you can do with just this one little option with an auto classmate.
The ability for it to be so specific, I think, is what's really powerful about that, right? Because even in our ChatGPT episode, that was one of the things that we discussed, was how useful a tool like that can be for when you need to just come up with ideas. Because I think one of the things that's so tricky about teaching as a profession, right, is that you are constantly hitting that creative creation button in your brain, right? And it gets tired the same way any other, you know, kind of energy can get tired, you know. So for absolutely for those pre-service teachers, but also quite frankly for teachers at the end of the year, like it's May. I cannot think of what fun thing I want to do at the end of the year, you know. Last year we got a little bit through, you know, more of the curriculum or less of the curriculum. I need to come up with something, but I'm tired. What a great thing to hit, and for it to be so specific to teaching, right? Mm-hmm. As a tool to have a lot of those things, to have those modifications. It's just a little less cognitive load on your brain to have to generate everything. And now you're selecting, you're implementing. But I always found that one of the most tiring things, apart from sort of the emotional cost, right? Like being really present for students emotionally, which is, you know, sort of the most important thing. It's just how much the volume of material that you're creating on a regular basis as a teacher is a lot, especially when you're trying to, you know, be creative and be engaging. So this one is clutch, man. I want to start playing with that like right now.
Yeah, totally check that out. I think I love how you said it's going to help with, end of the year, what do I do? For beginning and veteran educators, this is a really cool one. And now we have a bonus. This one is in Microsoft. I am a huge fan of Microsoft. They rolled out several AI features. I'm just going to focus on one of them. Several of the features that they laid out were Search Coach within Microsoft Teams, Presenter Coach within Microsoft PowerPoint. And this one that I'm going to demo is Reading Coach and Reading Progress. So within Microsoft Teams, when you create an assignment, you can have it be set up to be a reading progress assignment. And you would pop in your text. You can also, they've also partnered up with, let me go ahead and pull that up so I can see exactly who they partnered with. We'll edit this part out. Create an assignment. And then when we go to create an assignment, it would be, we'd click on new, I believe it is. It's been a minute since I've created one within Reading Progress. Yeah. And we would click on apps and click Reading Progress, and they partnered up. And so you can do it. You don't have to put in all of your text. You can just upload a PDF, or you can type in the text if you like. And that's what I did with my daughter's kindergarten reader. So I pulled in her little reader. I just typed it in very quickly. And I assigned it to her in her own little team. She's the only person in this team. And it recorded her video and her audio of her reading the text out loud. And then it did a whole reading inventory. So it gave me how many correct words she got per minute, how many words she needs practice with, what her accuracy rate was with her reader, what her mispronunciation words, how many words she inserted, how many times she self-corrected, omitted words, or repeated words.
Wow.
And yeah, it is phenomenal. And it's all color coded. And as a teacher, you can click on the different options. You click on the different words, it'll go right to that word. You can hear it aloud. If you're like, oh, I don't know if that was a mispronunciation or if she inserted that, I can go ahead and read that. And it'll track with time how well she's doing. And she can reread that as many times as I had put for her assignment. I can also see her reading. So it does the video. It's really an amazing tool. And you can also set like the pronunciation sensitivity if you would like, if that's something that you need some support with for your students with the pronunciation. And you can also choose different types of reading levels, lexicon levels, those types of things. You can give it a time limit if you wanted to. Yeah. So really awesome feature that you can put. It's called Reading Progress, and Reading Coach is now with it. So whenever they're done with their assignment, it gives them practice words to practice, and it gives them, they can click on it, they can hear it read aloud, they can record them being read to with the word. And it's a really nice teacher saving tool, especially if you're doing a lot of that reading progress measuring of the omissions, the insertions, the repetitions, all those things.
And I like how, because that used to just be in Teams, and I believe, Sam, you might know more, that it's now in Word too.
Ooh, so, I don't know. I gotta check that out.
I'm pretty sure they put it in Word, because we're a Microsoft school, but we don't use Teams with students. Mm. And I was looking in to see if we could potentially use it with our elementary kiddos for next year, mm-hmm. Because they might be able to use it in Word instead of in Teams, because that was holding us back for a little bit. I've seen some pretty powerful stuff with that one. I think it really also frees up, because then if you think of even that like diagnostic testing, like we used to do Dibbles, but I think it's called Acadience now. I think it's the same thing.
Yep.
That like if you just put it into Reading Progress, like you can just have the kids all reading, and then you don't, like, it dramatically will decrease the amount of time that it takes, because the kids can just all read, and then you as a teacher can go back at a different time. And it used to take us days to get mm-hmm. through, because you had to listen to each kid every time. And now the kids can just do it. And even if you also listen just to like double check, if the kids have all already done it on their own, it will then only take, if you have 30 kids in your class, it'll only take you maybe 40 minutes instead of like 2 hours, because you don't have all of that transition time to do. Because like you would have to call a kid up to your desk while the kids were all doing something else. And then the kid would have to go sit down. You'd have to shuffle the papers. Then like, even though each kid only reads for a minute, it like there was just so much transition time. If the kids all read for, even they read the whole passage, so then you can pull out the minute. Like if you go back and re-listen to it just to make sure that it scored it correctly, mm-hmm. you can just go boom, 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 boom through them all. And you only have like a 10 second transition between them all. You know what I mean?
Yes. That's what makes these tools powerful for teachers and for students.
Well, and what it allows, this is a conversation I was recently having with a teacher. What it allows us to do is focus on, I think, the parts of teaching that are sort of most interesting and most effective for an educator, right? I think mm-hmm. sometimes we spend so much on the front end of teaching, just collecting information or presenting information, that what a lot of these tools do, and one of the things that I'm really excited about, is that they make it easier and faster to present and to collect, so that we can be spending more time on that individualization, on correcting mistakes, on, you know, working with kids in a more targeted fashion. And that by making that front end process a lot faster, where, you know, it has to happen, but it's not where the big gains are happening. I think right. that ultimately there's a lot of capacity for teachers to actually do more of the work that they find meaningful in teaching by outsourcing some of those lower level tasks to technology, which is very exciting.
Yeah, and that's all the AI tools that I had to share with you today. But I'd love to promote a course on EduSpire if I can.
Please do, of course.
Right. So if you love the tools that we talked about today and you are interested in learning more about AI, EduSpire has a new course coming out. And from July to August, it's all online. You can get professional development only, or you can get college credit for it. And it's called Navigating Future Learning Through AI. And I'll be teaching that course, and we'll be discovering and exploring some of these AI tools and how we can use them in the classroom with meaning and purpose behind them. Not just, oh, you know, this is neat, maybe I should try it, but really thinking through, how can this help me as a teacher? And what exactly is AI, and how can I use it effectively in my practice? So I encourage you guys to check that out over on EduSpire's website. And we'll also pop the links down in our show notes, right, Emily?
Yep. Awesome. I've got it.
Thank you.
Well, and thinking about that piece, I love how you talk about how you want it to be really purposeful, right? I think that, you know, so often, especially in our ed tech community, we talk about how ed tech needs to be a tool, not a toy, you know, and that purposeful, mindful application is really important. So for many of our listeners who are starting their sort of own mindful application journey with AI, obviously taking your course would be a fantastic idea. But do you have a piece of advice that you'd also like to share? So what do you wish that you knew before you sort of started with AI? This is our famous question on the podcast. But if you were brand new, fresh-faced to this world, what piece of advice would you give?
Sure. So it'd be take small steps and think about the meaning behind using it. How can it help save you time doing some of those menial tasks? I think it's a really neat tool, but, you know, go take small steps at a time. Don't look at all the different tools and incorporate them right away. Just think about, okay, take one little, like, Canva, text to image. This one's nice, and I can have a image in my portfolio that's different from everybody else's picture of a teacher teaching. You know, I can have my own AI created image for that. So think about small little features of the tools that we had talked about today. And just try one small thing out, see how it goes, reflect upon it, and, you know, try it again or add something else to your repertoire.
As always, sage advice from Dr. Sam Passage. So with that, everyone, we would like to thank you for joining us on this episode of the Cyber Sisters podcast. If you would like to hear more from Sam, in addition to her awesome course, she is on Twitter at S Passage. And where else can people find you these days, Sam?
Yeah, so I'm still on Instagram as well. I use Instagram a lot more than Twitter these days. So it's the same handle at S Passage, S-F-E-C-I-C-H. And I'd love to connect with you guys over there.
Fantastic. And also, we will be linking Sam's books in the show notes as well. So please do check those out, especially if you have a pre-service teacher in your life. This would be a great little graduation present. You know, we are at the end of May. So a great time to, you know, sort of help start their process and their practice with her sage advice. As always, you can find us on Twitter at Allison K Teaches and at Sattler Cyber. We always appreciate keeping those conversations going. And if you have some AI tools that you have started using in your classroom or experimenting, please leave those in our comments. We'd love to keep that conversation going. So please like and comment, subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. And as always, keep trying hard.